There's a difference between the constitutionally guaranteed right to protest and terrorist activity, is what the Delhi High Court has said as it granted bail to three activists arrested more than a year ago in connection with riots that followed protests against the controversial citizenship law. The High Court also said that the use of the anti-terror law, the Unlawful Activities Prevention Act, which was invoked to file charges against the activists, must recognize the essential character of terrorism and a terrorist act, and that the law could not be casually applied to criminal acts. Natasha Narwal and Devangana Kalita, who are members of the women's rights group Pinjra Tod, and the Jamia student Asif Iqbal Tanha, were arrested in May 2020. They were accused of being masterminds of the February 2020 violence and denied regular bail by the trial court. Let's just go through some of the key observations which were made. In fact, this is all part of the order by the Delhi High Court. The right to protest peacefully, not outlawed, and it is not a terrorist act. That's what Justice Anoop Bhambani and Justice Siddharth Mridul have ruled. In its anxiety to suppress dissent in the mind of the state, the line between the right to protest and terrorist activity seems to be getting blurred. If this mindset gains traction, it would be a sad day for democracy, perhaps the strongest statement of all. The phrase terrorist act cannot be casually applied to criminal acts that fall under the IPC. Such serious sections must be applied in a just and in a fair way. The foundations of our nation stand on surer footing than to be likely to be shaken by a protest. And the complete lack of any specific, particularized factual allegations, foisting grave penal provisions frivolously upon people would undermine intent of the law meant to address threats to the nation. So these are a couple of the very, very strong observation statements made by the High Court. I'm joined now by the senior Supreme Court lawyer Indra Jaisingh, also the senior Supreme Court lawyer Ashwani Dubé, and Sagar Gonzalez, the son of Vernon Gonzalez, who's also in a different case but also been accused of being part of a plot of a conspiracy, joins us. Ms. Jaisingh, the words used by the two judges in the Delhi High Court, very strong. Is this a victory for the right to dissent in India?
Vishnu, I think it's more than just a victory for the right to dissent. It's a victory also for the independence of the judiciary, which falls outside the framework of what governments do and don't do. And they base their decisions strictly on their understanding of the Constitution of India. So what is spectacular about this judgment is it distinguishes a riot from a terrorist act. So they say very clearly, it is not our case that there may not have been a riot in which there was violence, but that is very different from a terrorist act. And the problem that we have seen with the UAPA cases is that governments tend to conflate any dissent or protest against a policy or a law with a protest against the nation. Now, this is what this judgment puts on record very clearly, that this is not an act of terrorism because nobody is attacking the sovereignty of India. Nobody is attacking the defense of India. And therefore, it is not a terrorist act. If it is not a terrorist act, you can't keep these people in jail for indefinite periods of time. And that is why the court grants them bail today.
Mr. Dubé, one of the perhaps the strongest statement made by the court today is that if this mindset, in other words, the mindset to lock up people gains traction, it would be a sad day for our democracy. Does that mean that people today who chose to defy the government and to protest, whether against it's the Citizenship Amendment Act or the National Register of Citizens or anything else for that matter, are on surer footing? They can do that and they don't have to worry about being jailed.
Thank you very much, Vishnuji, for having me with you. Right to peaceful protest is a constitutional right flowing from Article 19(1)(a) of the Constitution. And if protest becomes violent and crosses the ambit of Article 19, then it will be punishable under the provisions of law, that is under Penal Code 153 and 505. What the judgment today is, the UAPA, which was invoked against these three persons, that was not maintainable. And Honorable High Court is very well within the ambit of Honorable High Court under Section 439 CRPC to grant bail and also to evaluate the evidences which had been gathered by the police after registration of the FIR. What the Supreme Court, the High Court has said, that terrorist activity is a vague term. Its meaning must be construed narrowly and must be invoked only with respect to the acts having a bearing on the defense of India. So courts are very independent, very rarely it works. And what we have to look into, that each case has to be looked into on its own merits. I'm malicious and wrongful prosecution. We have a very senior lawyer, very eminent lawyer of the country on the panel. Malicious prosecution is one of the cases where there has to be a law if it is found that the police has falsely arrested somebody. But merely giving bail, but as has been said by the Supreme Court, the bail is a matter of right.
How is this not malicious prosecution?
Jail is exemption.
How is this, Mr. Dubey, not malicious prosecution? If at the end of the day, people who have spent a year in jail are now out of jail with the Supreme Court saying, what on earth is taking place? Why are people being locked up like this? What the High Court has said is, unambiguous.
There is a difference between illegal detention and the lawful arrest. There was an offense registered against them under the various provisions of Indian Penal Code and also under the UAPA Act. So far as the UAPA Act is concerned, the court, Honorable Court, found that both charges have been wrongly invoked against them. But so far as the other offenses invoked and registered against them under the Indian Penal Code is concerned, both offenses are still there. Now, after the leading of the trial, it will be decided whether those persons who have been enlarged on bail were wrongly and maliciously prosecuted and lodged into the jail, or there was a case against them. That will be decided only after leading of the trial.
All right. I just want to go back to Indira Jaisingh for a moment, ma'am. In the last couple of weeks, you've also seen an effort by the Supreme Court to, for example, on the issue of sedition, to actually say that the word needs to be defined, it needs to be revisited. And now you've got this Delhi High Court verdict over here. Where is this all leading? Is there a recognition that throwing the kitchen sink at citizens who say no or I disagree is not accepted in India?
Vishnu, I think we are a long way from there. Although I'm elated by this judgment, I'm aware of the fact that the challenges ahead us are many. If you look closely at the definition of terrorism, it also contains a sentence causing disaffection to the government of India, which is kind of a reproduction of the words used in sedition. So what the UAPA Act does, what the Anti-Terrorism Act does, is it conflates sedition within the definition of terrorist act. And so I think the next challenge, we have met one challenge very successfully, and I'd like to loudly congratulate the lawyers who argued in favor of the three detained persons who hopefully will be released. There is no doubt in my mind that this judgment will be challenged in the Supreme Court of India, and so be it. The challenge will be welcome, provided, of course, the persons are on bail.
Right.
It is one thing to have the luxury of an academic argument in court when you're on bail. It's another thing to be sitting in jail. I would like to tell you that so far as this judgment is concerned, I think it's going to help a lot of people, including the 16 people who are detained in the Bhima Koregaon case. And we have been arguing in this High Court of Bombay that you take the case of the police at the highest.
Yep.
There is no case made out of an unlawful activity, because none of these people said, let us secede from the territory of India. Let us attack the defense of India. Let us attack the country as a whole. It was not the case of the police. In that case, they cannot invoke UAPA. And that is the message of this judgment, which I think, yes, it's a great, a great upholding of our fundamental right to speech, to protest. After all, if you're protesting against CAA, you're not protesting against the nation, which is India.
Correct.
You're protesting against the policy of a particular government. And this is the distinction that we need to keep in mind always. Otherwise, you're going to end up in that situation in which you say the prime minister is the nation and the nation is the prime minister. That is simply not the law of the land.
I want to go across to Sagar Gonsalves. Mr. Gonsalves, does this give you hope, this judgment? If you look at the Bhima Koregaon case, if you look at the allegations, the charges, the allegations of war against the nation, and questioning, in a sense, the right to dissent, do you believe that there is hope in the case of Vernon Gonsalves over here, based on what has happened today?
Yes, Vishnu, I would like to be hopeful because this today's judgment is a really important critique of UAPA and the manner in which it is used. The points that it brings out about the arbitrary nature in which it is applied and the vague definition of terrorism that is being used and how it's just being foisted on people who are actually just dissenting against state bodies or various unlawful activities of the state and not the people really. And what we've seen happen in Bhima Koregaon is that in the Delhi case, these students were protesting. In Bhima Koregaon, most of these 15 activists weren't even present at Bhima Koregaon. They had nothing to do with it. So their common thread amongst them were they were a group of people who commonly dissented against various policies of the government or various actions of the government, and hence they've been targeted. But there's no case against them. And time again, as a family member, I've been devastated to see how various courts, be it the Sessions Court, the High Court, they've all rejected bail on the grounds of that UAPA. And UAPA, hence, we cannot grant bail because prima facie, that seems to be the case. Even at the Supreme Court level, you had Justice Chandrachud who raised a very important point about dissent being the safety wall of democracy. But then because it was a three-judge bench, the other two judges said that prima facie there is a case. So what it really is required, as they've mentioned in today's judgment, is cases have to be analyzed for the actual substance in the case. Now in Bhima Koregaon also, the evidence in itself is a question currently with the Arsenal report. So a revisiting is definitely required in light of this very...
All right. Important points that you mentioned over there. How will today's judgment actually affect the Bhima Koregaon case? I'm out of time. I'd like to thank you all very much for joining us. But this is, in a sense, a landmark judgment, a judgment which strengthens the basic value of our democracy, the right to say what you want, dissent, without in any way suggesting that it endorses violence, quite to the contrary. But it does strengthen the basis of which we exist in this country. We'll take a short break.